Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, all you children of sex, because we are all children of sex. We may or may not be children of God. Jesus. Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Allah. Buddha Brahma Ramadama. Or the great sex goddess of the world. But until we start cloning ourselves, we are all children of sex, with a capital X. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get an A, women?
A, women.
I want to welcome you to the little love church of the Bonobo Way in the village of Bonoboville. Season's beatings, brothers and sisters. Yes, indeed. Lord and Lady knows we are taking some crazy corona-pocalyptic beatings this season. Reality is taking a beating, that's for sure. And the truth is getting trumped in the minds of many of our fellow Americans. Out in the streets or on the internet and in Congress, everywhere. And so, you know, yeah, mix in the holiday stress and the cabin fever and the mask hysteria and that frustration that you just can't share the holiday cheer this year. It's a different kind of year. No nude caroling. Oh, no kissing cousins under the mistletoe. Oh, no strip dreidel with your hot neighbor. Oh, it sucks. A big candy cane. Yeah. But hey, we're still here. Some of us. And so Merry Christmas. Merry Triple Xmas. And Hanukkah Sameach, Landsman. Happy Kwanzaa. Pancha Ganapati. Bodhi Day. Winter Solstice. And yo, 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 Saturnalia. Mm-hmm. And a happy nude rear. So I think that's it. I don't know. If I left out your favorite winter holiday, I'm sorry. Spank me. I know the Muslims have a kind of a well, it's like every 8 years they have a winter holiday, but they're on a lunar calendar, so it's a little different. I guess there's no Muslim winter holiday this year. But, yeah, whatever you celebrate, ooh, baby, it's cold outside. But even so, it's more contagious inside. Woo! So, mask up, dress up, a lot of dressing up this year, and cuddle up for my 27th bedside chat of the coronapocalypse, yes indeed, inspired by FDR's fireside chats from another time of great calamity and uncertainty. Mm-hmm. So we have all kinds of festive stuff going on here. Let's see, we have our, first of all, Christians first. That's right, this is America. And part of it might soon be called Jesus Land if certain people, you know, separate. Anyway, we'll get to that later. But right now, we're all together, we Americans, we Christians, we Jews, we Muslims, we Hindus, we atheists, we agnostics, and Buddhists, and goddess worshippers. Anyway, here's our beautiful nativity scene. First of all, in front of a Christmas tree that is decorated by Anna Banana. And yeah, this is the bonobo, the angel bonobo that Miguel made. And this is, well, actually, let's start down here at the bottom, in the bottom of the manger, where Mother Mary is represented by a purple bonobo. And this is the baby Jesus butt plug. Yes, he's blue. And he's very cute. And he has a message of peace on earth, goodwill to all men. And, or, yeah, men. If men could have a baby Jesus butt plug just once, it might help with getting peace through pleasure. So he's resting in Mary the Bonobo's arms, and he has a dreidel, because he's Jewish. And I know, there wasn't any Hanukkah when Jesus was born, if we're going to be historic about something that isn't really historic. No Hanukkah then. But we do have the three kings represented by three dildos. One is our dildonic former president, Bill Clinton. And then we have the Buddha and Bad Dragon Dick, right? And then, of course, Jesus Jackhammer, all grown up in the top of the attic. And he's got a little educated bonobo right by him, and Trump upside down, who still doesn't want to leave the manger. But he will, because he's a loser. Sorry. I know. I understand how you feel, you Trump supporters. I felt that way 4 years ago. So I'm trying not to gloat, but it's kind of difficult. Right. We do have a lot to celebrate this year. Yes, indeed. Oh, yes. And I am here to celebrate at least Hanukkah, Christmas, Saturnalia. You know, my Santa hat is sort of Saturnalian. You know where that phrase, ho, 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 comes from? Comes from Saturn. Yo, 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 he would say. That's spelled I-O, I-O. And I am Dr. Susie Claus with a Yiddish flair. You know, as one of my friends told me the other day, I'm an equal opportunity blasphemer, okay? So I try to spread it around. So Chag Sameach Hanukkah, not a major holiday, but it is a winter holiday. And so, yeah, it piggybacks on the big, big Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. He can hold Hanukkah in his bag, and he does. And so we're going to light the candles. We're going to get lit and say a little prayer. And I don't pray, usually. I mean, I sing, I intone, but I don't usually pray. I've heard that prayer actually is not that helpful. But I do want to thank God and the goddess, Elohim. That's the gods, the Hebrew gods. There's more than one. The Greek goddess, the baby Jesus, Mother Mary, the Virgin of Guadalupe. We're going to talk more about the Virgin of Guadalupe, but check this out. This is the Virgin of Guadalupe. And she's so beautiful. She's kind of sexy, but I don't want to, you know, be too blasphemous. It's the beginning of the show. So, yes, I want to thank the Virgin. I want to thank all the gods and the angels for granting us the miracle of Trumpty Dumpty's fall off his awful wall. Huh. Yeah, Joe is no Messiah, that's for sure. But he's got one great virtue. He is not you-know-who. Right, but I just want to say there's a couple of good things that Trump could do before he goes. And he is going to go. He could withdraw all U.S. troops from foreign lands. I know, that's a tall order, but get started already. You keep talking about it. It's the one thing us progressives kind of went, oh, maybe you're okay. Do it. And don't just move them around like chess pieces on a board, you know. Really move them out. Bring them home for Christmas. Yeah. And I know, that's a big thing. Here's a small thing, but such an important thing you can do. You pardon that turkey. Yeah, I'm talking about Roger Stone. Here's who you should pardon. Pardon Julian Assange. That's right. He's a journalist. And come on, Donnie boy, isn't Pamela Anderson in a bikini worth it? Really now, really. He's a journalist. He kind of did you a favor in a way. I know he's done sort of the opposite as well. But hey, better than the fake news. And he is a news person. And a lot of journalists have abandoned him. So free Julian Assange. Whether you agree with his journalism or not, he does not belong in prison, and he's being tortured. And while you're at it, free Chelsea Manning, an American patriot, and Edward Snowden. And so, Mr. Trumpus, you great Trumposity, you, do it. You can do that. It's a lot less complicated than bringing everybody home from the Middle East, but you should do that too. Pamela, she might give you a hug and a kiss. I'm sure she'd wear a mask, but still, you know, she'd wear a bikini. So be worth it. Be worth it. Okay. So, Trump could still do some good, but in so many ways, he is the death president. I mean, I can't even keep count of how many people are dying from this Trump virus. Right. If he's going to call it the China virus, I'm going to call it the Trump virus. And then there's the border deaths. and the mass murders in his name. But now he's got kind of a semi-new thing that he's into, which is executing as many people as possible. You know, they were worried about the liberals using the guillotine. The guillotine, en français, excusez-moi. Well, Trump is mass murdering various people on death row. I mean, the federal government under his watch has killed more people in 5 months than in the previous five decades, right? Now, speaking of executions, I just want to go bonobos for LA's new DA, George Gascon. Speaking of Francais, yes, he has just ended the death penalty and cash bail for nonviolent crimes. And that's a big deal. Some other stuff too, and the LAPD is so mad at him, and I don't know if he's going to be able to make all this stick. They're going after him, but yeah, we want to support George Gascon. And by the way, my Star of David here, see that? That Star of David was made by prisoners in Twin Towers. They usually make crosses, but there were some fans of the show, one guy in particular who made the crosses, and it cost, what, two soups? A couple of soups, I think.
Two soups.
Thank you, Max. And Max procured this elegant Star of David, which matches my snowman mask and my elegant Hanukkah Santa Claus outfit. It's not easy to match Hanukkah, which is mostly blue, and Christmas, which is mostly red and green, but here you go. I don't want to look like an American flag, but hey, I'm here for you, brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners. I just want to celebrate that our girl, AOC, won another term, and here she is. I understand this cartoon was shared by a right-winger afraid of what AOC is doing to the Republican Party. Actually, the Republican Party is imploding on their own. But I love this cartoon that shows Alexandria trampling Pence and Don Jr. and Kavanaugh and McConnell and Ted Cruz. I think Trump is already probably trampled into a stupor, but she's doing real good here, this girl. She's hot, she's sexy, she's so smart, she zings them. Yep, and she's a socialist. All right. I don't know if she'd admit to being a socialist, but, you know, she's socialistic. Right. Fuck the rich! That's the working title of a new show that Max and I are going to be doing soon. But right now we're going to celebrate Hanukkah, and we're doing it on video. And I have all these candles in front of me, and I also have awaiting me Rabbi, well, he was going to be a rabbi, and then he became a porn star. Hey, and his name is Howie Gordon, a.k.a. porn legend from the golden age of porn, Richard Pacheco.
Woo.
Yes. Hi, Howie.
Hi.
Let me get my mic in front of my face now. And Chag Sameach Hanukkah.
E too.
So I just was reading over your book,
which I have here. Howie, by the way, just in case you don't know, is an author of this fabulous book about the golden age of porn through his particular eyes, Hindsight, because he looks at heinies a lot. That's, I guess, what it is, Hindsight, which is a good thing to get into at the end of a year. And the subtitle is True Love and Mischief in the Golden Age of Porn. And in this, it says that our old friend, the late Al Goldstein of Screw Magazine, called you the thinking girl's stud. So that is quite an honor. And Howie is the star of 82 movies? What? Or you're in 82 movies.
They cut them up and make 2-3 movies out of them these days. So I'm probably in about 150 by now.
All right. That's right. It's the age of clips. And you are a Playgirl centerfold. That's quite an honor.
That was. I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah. Why'd you enjoy it so much?
Well, I was the fat kid growing up. I had the largest breasts in the 7th grade. And
wow.
From the age of about 8 to 17, I was proportionally about 50 pounds overweight.
Ooh. So
and when you grow up like that, with those kind of scars, and then somehow magically at the age of 17, I lost 50 pounds.
Right. And, look at you here. I'm going to hide what you're showing here. But look at this. You...
I had abs.
Right. Can I show?
Sure.
Yeah, here. No, I'm asking my people. So this is not on the Facebook right here. Yeah, this shows his fine, upstanding dick. And
I
his
was
beautiful...
the smallest cock to ever hit the big time.
Well, it's very respectable, but yeah, it's not exactly one of the elephant dicks. No.
No. Compared to other porn stars, I was like playing poker with a pair of threes.
Well, you played very well.
Well, lucky I came along at a time when they actually wanted actors. That's the only reason they kept me going in the business, because I think out of my first 10 sex scenes, at least 6 of them I failed to achieve an erection. And these were the days before Viagra and Cialis and the shots or whatever. And it was trial by ordeal. And eventually I did get the hang of it.
You had to do it for real.
It was tough going for a while.
Yeah, you had to really be into it.
Yeah.
It was real method acting, where you really have to get into the mood.
Well, it was difficult. It was really difficult. You know, I thought when I first got into the business, okay, you're going to watch me fuck, Mr. Camera. I don't care. I'm getting to fuck. So here I am fucking, watch away. But that's not what being in the movies is like. Being in the movies is like looking right in the camera and masturbating in front of 50 people. Now, if you had told me that's what the job was, I wouldn't have been within 100 miles of a porn movie. Because masturbation, for me, was something that happened behind a locked door. It was nothing that I was choosing to present to the universe as my reason for being. For one, it felt like a failure to begin with because I couldn't get a partner. And for two, it just didn't work. The other problem I had was a lot of the women weren't interested in me at all. And they gave minimal support to getting me aroused, which meant you must take matters in hand and do yourself, which I did not understand. And my shoulders would lock up and I would just freeze. And the director was like the manager of a baseball team who would come out to the mound and take me out of the game. And they'd call in a stunt cop. Then when they'd go for close up on his dick and then pretend it was mine. And then I'd come back in and do the lines feeling like the biggest fool in the Western world.
Well, you did great. You won awards. You are a legend.
Well,
and
eventually, as I said, I did learn how to do it.
You have
the idea
this
that
wonderful...
I hung around was all about healing the wounds from growing up as Quasimodo.
Well, aren't all porn stars healing some wounds? Because
I don't know about all porn stars,
a lot of them are.
Yes. Mm.
I think a lot of them are because, of course, to be a porn star, you have to kind of go against society, so you have to be motivated. And I think the healing of wounds is a big motivation. And
the old song was the men are in it for the sex and the women are in it for the money. And my experience is that was the first order of business in both cases.
Well, I think it's a little bit of a mix. I think some women really like to find that stuff out. And some men really can use the money. And it's mixed. And nowadays, of course, you can be shy and do porn because you can just do it in your room, on your OnlyFans, on webcam. And, hey, you know, you can have a good time and maybe make some money. We're going to talk about that a little bit later.
Somebody, was talking to me recently about the fact they were sitting shiva, so to speak, for the fact that they weren't making any more money. These are the producers and directors of what's been the traditional delivery systems of porn in the last couple of decades. And another fellow told me, Dirty Bob, I don't know if you know Dirty Bob.
Dirty Bob. Sounds familiar.
He took over the XRCO when Margold passed away. But he told me nowadays he had just spoken with a starlet, and I don't remember the name, but last month she made $400,000 on her little stay-at-home webcam situation. So the delivery system is changing. Those that are crying and screaming that the old ways are dying, too bad, you know, because there is mutation in the world. We used to watch 8mm films without sound, and now we evolved to another place. And I think the starlets are getting the money direct, so I'm all for that. Cutting out the a lot of people that are used to making a lot of money out of it.
Well, there are pros and cons to all the different ways of porn. Yeah. And certainly people that like stories and people that like porn that's made like the real movies appreciate what you did in like Talk Dirty to Me and Sex Play and a bunch of others.
Yes.
I've had the same shirt on for 2 weeks with the same coffee stains. Let's take it off, okay?
Okay.
Have you ever been kissed?
A little bit.
Did you like it? Would you like me to kiss you right now?
Mm-hmm.
Just use your tongue right there.
Like that?
That's right. That's good.
Did I make you happy?
Yes. Made me very happy.
My day, there were two attitudes that were dominant among the men. Margold was typical of one. And he would say, you get it up, you get it in, you get it off, and you get out. Who the fuck cares that you're an actor? If I want to see acting, I'll go see Hamlet. I won't see a porn movie. And then there were the people who appreciated what I was doing and people like me. There were a lot of fine actors in porn. In fact, it's really surprising the number, especially out of New York, the number of porn stars that were in the actor's studio.
Yeah.
And had that level of training. Well, Jamie and Herschel and Eric Edwards, a lot of them. Ron Jeremy, I think, spent some time there too.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm one of those people that likes to mix my sex with the rest of life. I mix eroticism with humor. I mix eroticism with religion. I mix eroticism with politics. Yeah. And, you know, some people get very offended by that, both the political people and the sexual people. But you got to go where your heart leads you, you know.
Bingo.
And you did some great stuff.
Thank you.
And this is a great book for people that are interested in, that period, and also interested in the evolution of a nice Jewish boy, actually Orthodox Jewish, right?
Raised Orthodox.
Raised Orthodox.
Who sets the dishes on Passover?
Right. So so how about Hanukkah? Are you ready to do the bracha with me, Rabbi Howie?
You know, I did the bracha about 3 hours ago at our family Zoom talk. And when I saw you with the candles there,
yeah.
I started trying to remember it.
Okay.
I just did it.
I've
done
you.
It. And of course, because I'm now on camera, I completely am blanking on the thing. But if you can start it, I'll fake it with you.
Well, maybe I should have some Manischewitz so that I can keep up. Well, actually, Max, where is the Manischewitz? It should be out here.
Coming up.
Okay. No, I should light the candles before the Manischewitz, because otherwise there could be a fire. As you can see, even though it is the, what is it, the third night of Hanukkah?
It is.
It is. But this is the night that we're doing a show, and I am a showy kind of gal. And so I have all the candles lit. I know that might not be, you know, kosher, but who says I keep kosher? And also, it's I got three menorahs, so we're happening here. We got
some serious candles going there.
Yes, yes. So we got cameras and menorahs, and okay. So here we go. And I've got this major lighter here. Wow. Okay. So Howie.
Do you have the actual blessing there?
Do I have it? What do you mean, the blessing? Do I have
yeah.
the blessing? I have it in my heart.
You have it in your head.
I have it
can
in my
say
head.
It?
Yeah, I can say it. Well, I okay, so
what do you want
okay.
This?
Well, I want that a little later, cuz I'm going to light the candles first. So put it over. I don't have any surfaces. Where are surfaces? Okay. Okay, but I want the Manischewitz out here, not the glass, just the bottle. Bottle, please. Give me the bottle. And this is my lovely assistant, Mariah. Hey.
Hi, Mariah. I've been talking to her.
Yes.
I've been talking to her.
Yes, we know Howie.
Yeah.
Okay, so
she's
because it's a corona-apocalyptic Hanukkah, I'm going to put my mask on for the...
Yeah.
Lighting. So here we go. But I should take off my my Jux leather finger floggers because they don't really mix with fire. Okay. But I've got my tallis on and my Santa hat, and my rabbi, Howie, is here with me. So here we go. And so first we light the shamus, if I can
yeah.
just do it here. Because okay, that required a Herculean strength. Okay, so this is a shamus, which lights the other candles, sometimes called the slave candle. I hope I'm not being politically incorrect there, but that is what it's sometimes called. Okay, so now here we go. Baruch atah Adonai.
Eloheinu melech olam.
Asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav.
V'tzivanu lehadlik ner shel Chanukah.
We went to different synagogues, so we have different melodies there. But yeah. I got yours. You know, you kind of do the flourish at the end. Okay, so we have a lot of candles, so we have time to do it again. Baruch atah Adonai.
Eloheinu
melech haolam. Asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav. V'tzivanu lehadlik ner shel Hanukkah. This is my Aladdin's lamp.
I wanted to hear your version, because
yeah.
You know, okay. I never made the transition about 50 years ago when they changed the Hebrew language. They took out Shabbos became Shabbat. And I hated the changes. Shabbos was lyrical. The S sound was so much more melodic than the but Shabbat. So I never wanted to make the transition to modern Hebrew.
I am not going to get into the politics of that, Howie, because I learned Shabbat, and I think Shabbos sounds like my grandma.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what, my brother said that to me. My brother actually moved to Israel and lived there for 10 years. And he said to me, you know what you're saying when you're saying that, my little brother? You're only, you're dismissing the evolution of it. There was no modern state of Israel that spoke that language. And that's why they created the newer version. And you're only telling people that you came from a shtetl in Eastern Russia or something.
Okay, we're going to do the prayer that goes with a special occasion. And it's Baruch Atah Adonai, Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Shehechiyanu, V'kiyamanu, V'higiyanu, Lazman
HaZeh.
Amen.
Amen.
Women.
Yeah. There's the thought.
Yeah. Women. Okay. So Hanukkah is lit. We are lit, brothers and sisters. Well, we're not quite lit. These things come apart. Okay. And so Howie, what did you learn about sex when you were a kid?
That it was good.
Yeah?
But I didn't learn that from any human beings. I learned that...
From books?
From absolute fear and hiding and the darkness and discovery and terror and meeting a girl of like mind when I was about 13. And, oh, did we find out things that were astonishing.
What did you find out?
How did you know there were women? I was thrilled and delighted.
Yeah. And so
there was no education. In fact, one of the stories that I tell in the book, my wife became a sex therapist in the Masters and Johnson's tradition. And she came
home. I should have her on the show.
During the training. And she said, how would you like to do an exercise I learned? And I said, sure. And I think it was called sensate focus.
Oh, yeah, sensate focus.
One person agrees to be pleasured, and the other person does the pleasuring. So we decided I would pleasure her first. And it was non-genital. And the point of the exercise was the person being pleasured had to say anything. It had to be just pleasure. Anything that wasn't pleasure, you had to stop. You had to just do pleasurable things. So I started giving her a back rub, which I had done hundreds of times to girls in high school, and that was usually foreplay. And I did it for, a really short amount of time. That's been 10, 15 seconds before I started feeling angry. And it occurred to me, the consciousness of calling it exercise allowed these thoughts to actually translate to myself. And the anger came from the fact that, God damn it, I've been doing this my whole life, trying to get the girl turned on so she'll touch me back. I fucking hated that. It made me really angry. And it came out and blah, blah, blah. And we kind of scared each other. So we stopped the exercise. And the next day she said, want to try another one? Okay.
And you married
her. So this time she pleasured me.
Uh-huh.
And she skipped the non-genital stuff and just started sucking my cock. And I couldn't feel it. There she was actually in the act of doing it, but I couldn't accept it. It was like far, far away. And I started trembling. And then I burst out in tears. And the tears were very young. Because, and this is the question you originally asked me, no one in authority in my life, not mommy, not daddy, not the rabbi, not the school teachers, not the doctors, nobody had ever said to me, it's okay to experience sexual pleasure.
Aww.
And all the pleasure that I was having at 13, I was wearing this as a yarmulke, all the pleasure I was having with my ninth grade lover, loosely using that word. It was like stealing kisses. It was sinful. It was wrong. And I tell this story to when I do appearances and with audiences about, I have the whole audience say with me out loud, it's okay for me, meaning all of us, to experience sexual pleasure. Because a lot of us have never been told that, ever.
Exactly. And I think in this day and age, especially men, I mean, it used to be that women weren't told that, and in a lot of cultures, women aren't told that still. But lately, women are being told that. But a lot of men are being told, no, 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 everything you desire is bad. And the bonobo way, you know, I'm a bonobo buff, you know that.
Yes, ma'am.
And so I kind of am of the opinion that peace is made through pleasure. And the bonobos empower the females, and they make sure that the guys have a good time. That's very important, you know, and your story really emphasizes
that. I heard that rumor.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people that are busy empowering females, which is very important, are forgetting about the male well-being. So,
yeah. And the guys,
I'm here to remind them and make them uncomfortable.
Well, we've been given a role, and we can't live up to it if we can't dominate. And so it's all so fucked up. We're going to lose, and then we have to figure out why that's a loss. And it isn't a loss. It's actually a gain, but it takes a lot of stuff before you get around
that.
I
wish
bend.
This loser would figure out that his loss is really a gain for the country and maybe for himself. Anyway. Are you feeling good these days about, you know, the country, the world?
Well, I'm feeling great with a giant proviso that this is as close as we've come to the breakup of the United States since the Civil War.
Yeah.
And he's crazy enough. I mean, the fear, and this is already 2 months ago, that he would never accept the loss, and there would be whatever it took to beat the system. And we just had a victory yesterday, a giant one.
Yeah, Supreme Court.
Back in his play. So it looks like that's not going to happen. And I'm resting a little easier about that.
And we expected this is hemorrhaging. There's a lot of pain. And after all, some of us felt a lot of pain in 2016. We didn't happen to have so many AR-15s, but we feel your pain.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he has set loose the underside of America. And I don't know. I don't know how we stuff it back in. I don't know how we reaffirm. You know, America was never what it said it was from the beginning. All men are created equal, ridden by men who had slaves. So there was one thing in the obvious meaning of words, and then there was another in the reality for how we live. And whether we can actually make the transition to be a true multi-ethnic and racial society, that would be, it sounds utopian right now, because the country is like nearly down the middle divided in that issue.
Yeah, it sounds utopian, kind of like the bonobo way. And yet, you know, you got to have your ideals. You got to work towards them. And at the same time, be practical. You know, go for those lesser of two evils that you're always being confronted with. Yeah. That's what I think.
I just saw today Obama had said after a conversation like this and how difficult it all is, all the issues we're facing. His conclusion at the end of the conversation is, you got to try anyway.
Yeah. Well, I agree with him about that. A little less droning, though, Barry, but I do agree about you got to try anyway. And I mean, on some level, I'm like, hey, secede, go. But at the same time, I don't think they're going to go. And I think we are going to work it out. Maybe I'm an optimist.
Well, I think of Tito in Yugoslavia and how nobody realized that he was the only thing holding that whole system together. And when he passed, it broke into the various factions fighting it out. And Trump is taking us to the precipice of that. and I'd like to see him go without the bloodshed that could entail.
Hear, hear. Amen and a women.
Yeah.
Well, so Howie, so this is like your fourth time on my show, I think. The first time it was Pornucopia. You'd just written about my other book, The Ten Commandments of Pleasure. Listen
yes.
to us. We're all
ethical
about
hedonism,
this biblical
one of the great
thing.
Phrases of all time.
Yes, ethical hedonism, which is based on the bonobo way, but it's just
yes,
another
it
way of putting it. You know, being into pleasure, being into sensual experience, but being, of course, ethical and consensual about it. And so you were on the show then, along with our dear friend, Dr. Betty Dodson, who passed away a couple weeks ago. Yeah, may she rest in pleasure, as they say.
I have a good story about her.
Yeah,
tell
us.
I was you were probably at this conference. It was in the late 90s. It was, it was put together by sex therapists, sex therapy crowd, porn star crowd, and lawyer crowd. And we were supposed to debate the right-wing version of all those things. And it was a three-day symposium at the Sheraton in L.A. And the right-wing didn't show up.
Chickens.
So, it was just the three groups of us. And it was a beautiful 3 days. And for me, it was like I had been retired for 10 years. So it was going back to my world where I had left abruptly and didn't ever feel I had a proper goodbye. So it was wonderful to go back there. Anyway, there was an opening night show that Annie Sprinkles wrote the entertainment for, and she
Annie
invited
Sprinkle.
Me to come down.
Yeah.
And I was like the token heterosexual male.
Oh, wait a second. This is when you were on my show. You were on that weekend, the Pornucopia.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, that's when I gave the Pornographer of the Year award to Ken Starr.
Yes, that's
anyway.
Right. That's So that after that show, I was at a party up in Jeffrey Douglas's room from the Free Speech Coalition.
He was at my show. Are you sure you're not talking? Okay, go on.
So into his party walks Betty Dodson, who I had never met.
Oh.
And she walks right up to me where I was sitting and sits down in my lap. Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
That's
I was
great.
Quite honored and flattered and... We proceeded to talk and have a wonderful time with each other, like we had known each other all of our lives. And I think she was looking for more from me than I was willing to give, but we really liked each other, and it was fine. And then the party broke up, and I went my way, and she went her way. And the next morning, I was on my way to the elevator at the hotel, and so was she. And she came up to me kind of sheepishly, and she said, "You remember when I sat on your lap? And it felt like I knew you forever." And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, I thought I did. I thought you were this other person in New York. Now I can't remember who he was. But is it okay that I did that? Because I really like you. I want to be friends with you."
That's funny.
Said, "Lady, did you ever pick the right lap? Because I think you're one of the heroes of the 20th century."
Absolutely.
You at the closing conference of the closing session of that weekend?
Well, first I just want to say that I the way I met Betty Dodson was I just came up to her not knowing who she was, even though her book had given me my first orgasm when I was 19 years old. But at this point, it was at Cat Sun Love's birthday party, and I didn't know who she was. She just looked so friendly. I went up and sat on her lap.
Wow.
She's like into this whole lap sitting without even knowing who you are thing. Yeah, then I found out who she was, that she was the lady who gave me my first orgasm. Not through her hand, but through her ideas.
Yeah.
Yes. So, so that was your first show with me, and Betty Dodson was there, and I think you talked about that, and you left your underwear in my bed, actually.
Yeah, I gave her my underwear at the
Well, she left your underwear
on stage
in my bed.
And threw them out in the audience. I said, "Well, somebody please pass these back to Betty," and Betty took them and put them up to her face and went, and like a Rocky in triumph. And
beautiful.
I wouldn't trade that moment for a bigger dick.
I bet you've said that before. So your second time on my show, I think it was the second time, was with your son, Bobby, when he did a one-man show about what it's like to have a porn star dad.
Well, that's the second time I was in studio with you. But you've had a portable show, and I've seen you at other places with your camera walking around.
Yeah. At the Hollywood show also. But you were there with Nina Hartley on my show with your son, Bobby. And you've done quite a few scenes with Nina Hartley. And by the way, I should just say, as long as we're name-dropping celebrities, that your book, Hindsight, has a foreword by, wait for it, Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah. Woo-hoo!
Then you were on my show promoting the book when we were in Inglewood.
Yeah, you came to my opening in L.A.
And I did. I came to your opening. That's right, of your... Hindsight delivery? What was it called?
Launch party.
Yeah, but you read parts of it. Yeah.
Anyway,
I love to interweave with your life, your career, and I just want you to remember that it is a mitzvah. What's a mitzvah, Howie?
A blessing.
To have sex on a holiday.
Yeah. Judy holiday?
A Jewish holiday, like
Judy,
Hanukkah.
Judy holiday.
Yeah, a positive holiday. I mean, we're not talking Yom Kippur.
I was talking about Judy Holiday, the actress.
Oh, I thought you were saying like Jewy holiday.
No,
like
I always wanted to fuck Judy holiday.
Judy
She's great.
Oh, God. You're such a punster.
A little bit.
Howie. But I'm so delighted to share Hanukkah with you.
Likewise.
And, you know, I've always lit the candles, but in the past, like, 10 years, I've been making Hanukkah kinky. You know how I do that?
I can guess, but you tell me.
Well, I want you to guess.
Well, I'm sure it involves some spanking.
Well, it could, yes.
Or is that a Thanksgiving holiday only?
Well, you know, spanking is good for any holiday, but Spanksgiving, of course, it's all about spanking. And Valentine's Day is really Lupercalia, which is all about spanking. And Krampus is all about... It's a lot of spanking. But what is unique to Hanukkah? I'll give you a hint. It's right before me. Look at all these beautiful candles. No, you can't guess?
Well, I'm not sure what the subject of guessing is. Are you lighting yourself on fire? What are you doing?
I'm a pyromaniac, yeah. Oh, hot wax, baby, hot wax.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
You never got into hot wax, Howie?
No.
No?
It just felt like hot wax.
Well.
It didn't do anything for me.
Well, okay, then I'm not going to do it to you because you're
good.
A killjoy.
I would appreciate that.
When it comes to my Hanukkah hot wax, because I am a pyromaniac and I love hot wax. Hanukkah hot wax.
I don't know. Rabbi Susie. gives you a taste of the pain.
Yeah. Hot wax on the boobs.
I know. How hot is it?
It's hot.
But we are all such different critters. It's so amazing.
We are. You just like hot girls. By the way, we're going to show a little clip of you with one of our favorite hot MILFs, Kay Parker, who has been on my show a couple of times. Yes.
Spectacular lady.
From the movie Sex Play.
I'm late already.
Decker saw through Jan's disguise and was going to leave, so she had to jump into action.
Justice, I think, is his name.
Hey, wait a minute, you can't do that.
Oh, yeah? Why not?
Because I won't let you.
Hot scene. So tell me what it's like to work with Kay Parker, because we have a lot of fans of hers watching.
When I first met Kay Parker, I was in a movie called The Dancers, and I had to do a dance on stage, and they had rigged a shower for me there, and they wanted me to be in the shower when we started the scene, and they wanted me to have a hard-on. So I was trying to get myself an erection before they started shooting, and I wasn't getting there. So I turned to this costume lady who was having a bit of an affair with me, and I said, well, how about help? And she just turned red and said, no, then everyone will know, and she ran away. And I heard this voice say, need some help, love?
And it was Kay Parker, that's Kay.
I had never met before. This was our introduction, and she dropped to her knees and proceeded to make me hard in about 3 seconds, and I said, thank you very much, love.
Wow. Well, she's an amazing gal, and you're an amazing guy. And Chag Sameach Hanukkah. Have some holiday sex tonight. It's a mitzvah.
And okay.
Hindsight is 2020, but now we're into 2021. So we are going to say farewell, Howie Gordon, a.k.a. Richard Pacheco.
Howie, we also put your book in our new bookstore online.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so... You're among...
You're in our new Dr. Block's Pleasure Shop. Hindsight.
What an honor. Thank you so much.
Oh,
very appreciated.
Our pleasure. Absolutely. Hopefully we'll sell a lot of books. You
okay.
can see I've
Good
got
deal.
Bookmarks in all kinds of pages here because it's that good.
Mwah.
Under the mistletoe. Mwah. Mwah. And so now, for someone completely different, let's welcome Victoria Jade to the Dr. Susan Block Show and my 27th bedside chat. Hello, Victoria.
Hi.
I
just have to say something really quick. I was really excited because I thought you were going to put a lit candle downstairs instead of just dripping the wax on yourself.
Oh, so. Well, you know, I could do that with the right motivation from someone
I mean, I'm down for anything.
Beautiful and lit as you. Look at you. Well,
I try to get festive.
Yes, you are festive. You look like a beautiful human Christmas tree. All
thank you.
Lit up and fabulous. Yeah. And so is that like a necklace, a harness, or a combination?
They're separate. This is just a necklace. This is a harness. It's not really Facebook appropriate, so...
Okay. Well, we'll talk to you for a minute with your jacket on, and then we'll talk to you a little bit without it on. So, so first of all, I want to introduce everybody watching to the fabulous Victoria Jade. This is her virgin show with Bonoboville here. So we're very excited to have you here. Victoria Jade is you're many things. You're a fitness coach, and yet, you know, the fitness business is a little tough these days. And yeah. I guess you had another job, too, in the corporate world. And, of course, the corona apocalypse has kind of collapsed a lot of things. And so... Now you are not corporate, you are a cam girl. And you used to be a stripper, right? So it's not a total stretch.
No, yeah, I mean, I do a lot, you're right. I started out in the adult industry stripping. Basically just got into it because I just wanted something different. I had just graduated college, and I was actually working at a strip club as a hostess. And I had a friend who was a dancer, so she invited me to come down and work with her. And at first, I just started doing it because I just didn't want to work. And I went down and danced a few days a week and made some money. And I just loved, like, just being in control and feeling empowered and just making the money that I wanted. And I honestly quit stripping because I thought I was supposed to go back and get a real job. My parents raised me to go to college, get a good job, you know, do the normal thing. And I tried that for
Where did
a few
you grow
years,
up? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the Pacific Northwest.
Okay, like Washington State?
Portland, Oregon.
Oh, Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
Oh, an exciting place, especially it's, these days.
Yeah, oddly has the most strip clubs. Per
and
capita,
it has the
so
most strip clubs. And,
great place
and
to grow up.
We had some great Portland strippers on the show at the beginning of the pandemic when, of course, they did not get a relief check and yeah. they worked at a place called... Lucky Devil Lounge.
I actually worked there 4 years ago.
Oh, okay.
For a few months.
I hope it was okay.
That was one of the clubs that I danced at.
Yeah, so they, you know, they gave their strippers jobs, I guess, doing delivery, you know, stripper delivery service for Lucky Devil Eats.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
A lot of people are being very resourceful these days. So, yeah. But in any case, small world. Yeah.
That's funny.
So did you grow up in a liberal household or religious or?
Yeah, my parents weren't super religious. They were raised religious, but they kind of took my brother and I in the sense of, you know, you figure out what you want, and they didn't push anything on us. We celebrate Christmas, but I had never really gone to church or anything. But my parents are both super, super liberal, and that's kind of how I grew up. I kind of just did wow. what I thought I was supposed to do. I took on pretty liberal beliefs most of my childhood until I kind of got out and saw the real world. I grew up in a very small suburb, so I grew up in a pretty tight bubble. I didn't really have any reality on the real world or the outside world outside of my little town. So it's different. I'm very blessed with the childhood I had, but I didn't have any real knowledge on what the whole world was like. So it was a little bit
what
different.
What kid does? But anyway, yeah. Are your parents okay with what you do as a erotic entertainer?
So my mom actually stumbled across one of my social media sites a few weeks into me getting more into adult work. And of course, as a mom, she was just mostly worried about me, but you know, she's like, I love you. I support you no matter what. I just want you to be happy and healthy and safe. So that was the biggest thing for me. I knew going into everything that it was going to get out. You know, I wasn't naive. I knew that having my face out there, people were going to find out. So I just took things as they came. So my mom knows. A lot of my friends know. My father does not know. So we'll see about that. But I mean, everyone's been really supportive so far. And of course, parents just in general, they just want their kids to be happy. So she knows I'm happy and healthy and safe, and that's all she cares about.
Okay. Well, you know, it sounds a little complicated, but life always is.
A little bit.
But you're in a relationship, I guess. You've got a boyfriend that you're really tight with, a fiancé.
Yeah. So we actually work together a lot. He's... a big part of the reason I really started into more of the camming and adult sites and everything like that. So he's been very, very supportive. He's actually does a lot of my management work and all my photography and my content. So it's a huge blessing because I know a lot of girls in the industry don't have that sort of support at all. So,
there you go. That sounds like quite a collaboration.
Yeah.
And I guess you also have a kinky relationship too, don't you?
Yeah, you could say just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Yeah. Okay, not too
kinky. I was just talking to him about this earlier today, actually. I have always had a sort of submissive side to me, and I never really knew how to express that in previous relationships. until I met him, and he sort of introduced me to the whole dominant submissive dynamic, and I was like, oh fuck, this is exactly what I needed. So it's a great relationship. It's exactly what I needed that I never knew I needed. And we have a great agreement, a great relationship, and it just brings all the best in both of us. So it's pretty amazing.
Nice. So you said that what turns you on about cam work and I guess stripping is control.
Yeah.
Do you feel out of control in life? I guess.
No, not so much. And it's a lot of empowerment too. And to be honest, I went through a really abusive relationship in college. And I think that's what spurred a lot of it, is just being in adult work and going into stripping. It really put me in control of my body, of my mind. You know, I do what I want when I want. I get off when I want. Like, the sort of manipulation and control that comes with it was just,
and what gets you off, which of course means losing control.
What gets me off? A lot. A lot. And I'm a little bit high maintenance. It's always funny when people ask me, like, what's your favorite sex position? And I'm like, this and this and this and this and this. And they're like, oh, okay, she's kind of crazy.
Okay, she's what?
Oh, when people ask me, like, what's your favorite sex position? And a lot of people expect just, like, a very simple answer. For example, I was on cam the other night, and someone asked me that, and I'm like, okay, well, I like to get fucked in the ass with a dildo on my pussy while I'm rubbing my clit and getting choked out.
Whoa!
Like,
that is a lot, yeah.
So, she's a little bit high maintenance, but he takes care of me, so it's great.
Okay. Well, after hearing that position, what was it, doggy style with a dildo in your ass and a cock in your pussy and being choked out. Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, do not try this at home. I know a lot of people are turned on by the choking thing, but a lot of people have accidents that way. So,
yeah.
And I have so many guests that love that. I think porn stars love it because it's taboo, maybe. Or maybe they like the feeling of losing your breath. Hey, if you like the feeling of losing your breath, wear a mask, right? you know, that can do that. Somehow it doesn't equal that way. But, yeah, since that's the subject matter, maybe we'll move the Facebook camera away and let you do a little strip tease for us.
Okay.
So the Facebook camera can show, I don't know, me. What? Okay, so here she is. You Facebook people, you know, or YouTube, now's the time that you should watch on drsusanblock.com/live. And it's free. It's free. Okay. Victoria. She's just going to take off her robe. Oop, there we go. Wow, that is quite a harness. Yes. Beautiful. This is not just a striptease. This is a revelation of an amazing body. Wow. That is quite a beautiful butt. Yes, happy nude rear. Oh, pull the back down so you can say happy nude rear. Turn around. Can you turn around? Yeah, pull it. And now pull it down. That's right. And here we go. And take a picture. Happy nude rear. All right, Facebook people, you got to go to drsusanblock.com/live to see that. Wow, and what a nice tight body. I guess I was expecting it. Naughty nice. Look at those socks. Well, that's really cute, I must say. Naughty and nice. I'm naughty too, and nice in the back. You're naughty and nice on your socks. And what an amazing glitter harness. You really are decked out like a Christmas tree.
It's not
It's what?
It's just chains.
Chains. And yeah, chains and lights and light up. You are lit, girl.
I'm always lit.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And so that harness, does it have a collar attached? Do you have a collar up there? Yeah.
It does. And it has the ability to walk in the back. I don't have it on right now, but.
You could be on a leash.
Oh, hell yeah. We were just talking about that today. I mean, I'm not sure what's all open because COVID kind of fucked everything off, but we're trying to look for an underground club to go to because I have not been leashed yet. And that's something I really want to experience.
To go to a club, oh, you're going to love that because I think you're a bit of an exhibitionist. And
a little bit.
We've
been experimenting, and I feel like that's something that I really need in my life.
Yes. Yes, I think you would really enjoy that. And I don't know what's open, but I've seen a mistress and her male slave go into, what was it, like a Trader Joe's or...
I think I saw that. I think we just looked at that the other week.
Wasn't that
and
amazing?
He had the mask on.
Yes.
Like all in black.
They had the masks on. They were very COVID safe, but they were very wild. And at first it was okay, but then when she started whipping him in the store, well, they had to go.
I know, we were just talking about, actually, last night we went out to go get drinks, and he's like, can you please just, like, wear your really short dress and leather boots and, like, I'll film you walking through Target and get all the Karens all pissed off at you.
All right, well, I can't wait to see that film when you do it, because that'll mean that there's a little more freedom in our society. But, you know, of course, we want to be safe, but we'd love to be free.
Well, wear a mask, of course.
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course. All right.
My pussy just might fall out. Just accidentally.
Do you have your mask there?
No. We're at home.
Oh, okay.
So the mask.
No, I know. I just think you'd look awfully hot with your mask on and that outfit. But anyway.
I need to get a leather one. I don't have a
leather. Yeah.
It'll be perfect.
So you're going to have a sexy Christmas?
Yeah. I'm actually not going to be going home for Christmas because of COVID. So that's a little bit unfortunate. But I have my fiance, thankfully. So we're going to be just having a low-key Christmas together. Well, maybe not super low-key. Maybe a lot of kinky sex. But
sounds like it's going to be a kinky Christmas. So,
yeah.
And we can see it on your TikTok, or we can see it on your OnlyFans, and
well,
we're going to put up all those addresses.
A lot.
Right.
But I do have my OnlyFans, and I did just start myself on Pornhub, so I have a few different sites that I have stuff on.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Victoria Jade.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, this is great. We can't wait to see more of you, and we hope to see you in 2021, too.
Oh, you'll see a lot of me in 2021.
I'm seeing some great stuff now, so I can't wait. Victoria Jade, yes.
Join Bonoboville.
Yeah, and join Bonoboville. Yeah, absolutely. Wow, hot stuff. Well, we're having such a good time tonight, you know? Between the hot wax Hanukkah, actually, we still have to do some hot wax. And we're going to show you a clip from Xmas 2018 where Rhiannon has an orgasm on the Motor Bunny sleigh. Jingle bells all the way from her boobies. And Danielle Watts and Elena Rain singing, Oh Holy Night.
Okay, there we go. Felt its worth. A thrill of hope. The weary clit rejoices, for yonder came. Oh, night divine.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, holy night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amazing stuff. And one thing I wanted to do is find out more about the Virgin of Guadalupe. So here we are at the Virgin's altar right here. And it's a very beautiful altar.
Look at that.
With candles. And who's going to explain this to me? There's
Anna
hands
is coming.
Praying. And here's Mariah. And here's Anna. I love Anna's hat. She's a queen. A princess, put your mask up.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm not.
And so here we are. Okay, so here's the Virgin of Guadalupe with flowers. Oh, they're real. Everything's real. And candles and jade and praying hands.
Yes.
And this is a special time?
For the Lady of Guadalupe? Yes, absolutely.
Because why is that?
When she was going to get, when she gave birth to Jesus.
Well, that's Christmas,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's why it's a very special time, though, is when she was pregnant and she was going to go to...
Okay, so she's pregnant now. She's just, like, going to go into labor any
yes.
minute with virgin. God's child, baby.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes, and she was a virgin, so it was very special, especially to our culture and our traditions. So.
Right, because it's, of course, impossible.
Yes, but, so even though Jesus is
a miracle.
Even though Jesus is very important to Christmas, Lady of Guadalupe is very important because she is his mother, and she was given the gift to give birth to Jesus. So she is also as important to us in our culture as Jesus is.
Well, you know, I've always liked that about Catholicism as opposed to the Protestant version. I mean, I'm Jewish, so I'm on the outside of all y'all. But I've always liked that there's this elevating of the female, of the woman, the mother.
Yes.
Mary is very important. And I think a little bit of that gets lost in some of the born again and the, I mean, you born agains have some great stuff going on. But this elevation of the goddess as Mary, the mother, I mean, the whole virgin thing, okay, I'll take it. Because they also elevate Mary Magdalene, who was not a virgin, right? But this is the holiday of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was a virgin.
Wait a minute, he had two mothers?
No, he had a girlfriend, Mary Magdalene.
Oh, right, okay.
But the mama.
The mama is this one.
Is
that's
Mary.
Two. Okay.
And I always represent the mama as a bonobo, because bonobos are such great mothers. I mean, they're great lovers, but they're also really, really great mothers. They're not virgins, though.
Touche.
Okay. So what else were you guys going to say?
Mama?
Well, okay. Yeah. Well, Anna, I know that you go to the festival every year. What happens there?
Oh, everything is closed because for the corona.
Yeah, but when it's open, what happens?
Oh, we...
I hear there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, we believe in her, you know, that when they make a... ¿Cómo se dice? Que nos hace un milagro. Milagro?
Milagro?
Yeah, miracle. Yeah,
miracle. Ah, miracle.
Yeah, and
okay.
Then we all go to the church on that this day. And then we brought some bread, food for the people outside who's praying for.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what else do you do?
And then we put flowers for her, roses, candles, and we stay there in the church. We. Yes.
Now Max told me there was drinking
and
smoking.
Wait.
Where's the drinking and smoking?
Wait, hold it.
Yeah.
There,
and then the people bring music. And drinking, yes,
all
in
right.
the middle, and dancing, yeah.
Dancing in the church.
In the church.
Awesome.
So party.
Party time.
All right.
Yes.
So she's a cool lady.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll have some dancing later. in the Church of the Bonobo Way. Yes. Well, thank you, Virgin of Guadalupe, for
thank
blessing
you.
Us. And keeping us safe during these difficult times. Please continue to keep us safe. Amen. And
Amen.
All right. We're going to do a little hot wax. Right? One little hot wax. Here we go. all the candles have gone out. Well, let's see. Light a few more candles. Okay. So we're now going to put some candles in here because I am sacrilegious that way. And now comes the hot wax portion of the show. Now, Howie didn't like the idea of hot wax. Mariah, how do you feel about the hot wax?
Who doesn't like hot wax?
Howie.
It will actually be my first time giving hot wax. I have done a little hot wax with myself, so to practice.
You did to practice. I gave you that to practice, right?
Yeah, to practice.
Mm-hmm. And was it okay?
I mean, yeah, it was fun.
Okay, and let me move that. And okay, so you're ready for this. All right. And
6 minutes.
So we decided we're going to do it with the blue. Yeah, 6 minutes. I can. It's fine. Just want to have a little ambiance here. Whoa. All right. So. So, in our ongoing efforts to show ways to enjoy kinky things without, exposing yourself to the virus, this is the hot wax portion of the program. So, Hanukkah's fun, but hot wax makes it even more fun. So let's see. So now, here, like I said, what you want to do is have it as low as possible so that, you know, we don't experience this from too hot a place. So you want to have your hot wax high up.
That felt very nice.
And you felt it.
I liked it.
You liked it. Does it hurt or just feel
warm?
In
the right way. It hurts in the perfect way.
Okay.
Ooh, it's definitely a little stingy, but I like it.
Perfect. Okay,
perfect.
I'll try to hold it up a little higher. Here we go. And you adventurous Jews, here's how to celebrate your Hanukkah.
Ooh. Happy
with
Hanukkah.
Hot wax. And actually, you adventurous Christians, you know, you use candles for Christmas. You got all those Jesus candles. you can use them to enjoy hot wax from a distance. You know, I guess we're about 5 feet from each other and wearing masks.
Yes.
And
safety first.
Here we go. Here comes another droplet. Whoa!
Ooh.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, I like
it.
That sound because I've heard other sounds before with hot wax, and you sound like you can handle it. Whoa.
I like it a lot.
All right.
Oh.
Maybe too much.
Okay. Well, brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, let's hear it for Mariah. Ooh. And her first hot wax experience. Okay. Anybody else want to try? Captain Max? No. All right, brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners. Now, it's time to, you know, have a little post-show party here in Bonoboville. But we want to wish you a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, a Happy Winter Solstice, and hopefully, you know, everybody can kind of find some common ground. If we can't, hopefully there won't be much bloodshed, you know. It's a scary time. But I have a lot of hope. And I feel very good about the future of America. And I hope that you all can find peace on earth, pleasure for all. That's the bonobo way. So, just like I said, it's a holiday, so it's a good time to have sex with someone you love, someone you care about, someone you're sheltering with. And yeah, maybe that someone is you. So yeah, make love to someone you love tonight. Even if that someone is you, I love you. Ooh.
To talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, you can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web.